Proverbs chapter 10. This evening we'll be reading verse 6 and 7. I'm going to title the message this evening, The Memory of the Just. Of course, we have in our text the memory of the just and the unjust. And we take this title from verse 7. Notice in verse 6 and 7, just reading these two verses to begin this evening. Blessings are from the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Father, we thank Thee again this evening for the opportunity to come together and worship. We thank You for Thy Word, and we pray, Lord, as we look into the pages of Holy Scripture this evening, that, Lord, that You speak to our hearts. Help us in our Christian walk. Help us in our understanding that we might be good servants and might be pleasing to Thee. And Father, we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to focus in on verse 7. Let me say just a few things about verse 6. We find here in verse 6, he said, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. We have a lot of comparisons in the book of Proverbs between the just and the unjust, or the righteous and the unrighteous. We find here that when he says the blessings, he's talking about the praises that would be upon them. But he said that in verse 6, the latter part, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Violence. You see this again in verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but the violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. And you see it again in verse 18. But we would see it many times throughout this book, especially like in chapter 26 and verse 24. When he says in verse 6, he said, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. He's talking about the fact that violence literally falls back on the foul mouth. In other words, their own wickedness shall find them. And so we see that God does judge. His judgment does come to pass. Now, verse 7, notice he said, the memory of the just is blessed. I'm going to focus mainly on that. But he also says, but the name of the wicked shall rot. We find here that how will we be remembered? Not only in life and as people would think about us today, but how will we be remembered when we die? And will we be remembered by delight or disdain? We all leave a legacy. It can either be a blessing or it can be rotten. But every one of us will leave a legacy. Will it encourage others to walk with the Lord, or will it discourage them? People live after death in memories of the living. We'll see that as we look at a few scripture tonight. But notice he said, the memory of the just is blessed. This is the positive side of this. In other words, it's a monument to the testimony of what God has done in someone's life. And when we die. And by the way, there's a lot of lies at funerals. But they are funerals where the truth is told. And people can, you can honestly speak well, you know, of someone. But there are a lot of lies that are told at funerals. Everybody goes to heaven and everybody's been a great person. And you never hear the opposite of that most of the time at a funeral. So the positive side of this is in verse 7, the memory of the just shall be blessed. In other words, it's like a monument to the testimony of what God has done in their lives. But the other side of this is that, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Now, we know that the world praises the wicked, and we know that the world builds monuments to even wicked people. I mean, there's even monuments that was built to Stalin and different ones like that. But he says here that their name shall rot. In other words, their name is rotten. It stinks. It's like a skunk. It's like the smell of a dead animal. You'd see this. You see this again in chapter 14. I'll just give you these verses. Chapter 14 and in verse 30 says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. Notice it's like a disease. Like a disease. And you'll also, in chapter 12 and verse 4 of this book, in Psalms chapter 9, verse 5 and 6, it speaks of the wicked perishing. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 10, it says, "And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had done so. This is also vanity." Matthew Henry said, in reference to this verse, he said, "Where the bodies are putrefying in the grave, even their name shall rot." And this is so true. And I want you to notice here, let's read this one more time before we turn away. But again, when we die, it's going to either be blessings or shame. It's going to be blessed, the memories, or it's going to be a shame. Think about Abraham and Abimelech, or Noah and Nimrod. And you think about those two peoples. Think about David and Saul in the Old Testament, Jonathan and Joab. We could just go through a list, Hezekiah and Haman, as we just mentioned, Paul and Pilate. We, you know, you could just make those lists of those who we still remember. We still, even we today talk about Abraham. We talk about David. David was, he's the standard for kings, really. And so when we have fond memories of certain ones that we've known who were Christians. There's some people that I've known will bring a smile to my face and warm my heart. To think of when I'm encouraged by their faith, even though they are dead, you know, at this time. Think about the martyrs when we read about them. You're encouraged in the faith, are you not? Not that we want to be martyred, but we're encouraged in the faith. I mentioned Sunday about, five that were killed on the mission field, speared, not just killed. I mean, a spear stuck through them. And it's a horrible thing. And still yet to think about somebody that would stand that strongly in Christ, wanting that soul to be saved, that does something for me. It encourages me. And so we think in delight throughout church history, thinking of different ones. We speak of them, read about them. Those in the Bible, we see this. In Hebrews 11 and also Hebrews 12, the first few verses are called a great cloud of witnesses. What do you think about when you read through? I've gotten discouraged a number of times over the years. One of the places I go, not only Psalms, I'll camp out in Psalms, but just like this psalm we just sung, Psalms 13. Think about how this psalm goes. Just think about this for a moment. You know, how long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? This is the question. And how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemies be exalted over me? A lot of questions, isn't it? And he says, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Light my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Let mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him." I should say, "Less my enemies." And then he says, "And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved." But the latter part of this, the latter part is, "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Asking all those questions. The enemy is against him. Hardships and whatever. And then the final analysis is, "I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to keep my eyes upon you." And so that's when we think about those who have went before us, those who have died, and we can honestly think with delight upon them. Notice with me, and let's read this one more time. "The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot." Turn with me to chapter 22. Notice in Proverbs chapter 22. And notice as we come here. And again, the word rot, this is negative. The word blessed is positive. The blessed, a monument to the testimony of what God has done in their life. The word rot, their name is rotten. And when you don't think kindly upon them, those who have been wicked and rebelled against God and rebelled against the truth, no one is really that sad that they're gone. But notice now in Proverbs chapter 22, just one verse, chapter 22 and verse 1, and he says here, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." We find here that a good name is greater than all the riches of this world. Solomon believed that, especially in the beginnings of his life. We know what he went through later. But he believed that when God came and just offered him whatever that his request was, we know what it was, wisdom and understanding that he might be faithful in leading God's people. And he was humble, you know, at that time. Turn with me to Psalms 112. We're going to look at just a few verses here. We're going to turn to the New Testament. And notice in Psalms 112, let me read just a few verses from this. Now, as you go through the Bible, as I already mentioned, David is remembered as a great king, like in 2 Kings 14:3. He became the standard, so to speak. In other words, the Lord might say to another king, you didn't walk as David walked. And you say, well, David sinned, but David was a very repentant man. He was very repentant. Saul was the opposite, King Saul. Josiah also was a man that loved God and brought reform to the nation of Israel. And when he died, Judah and Jerusalem mourned. They mourned. But there's other kings. Jeroboam was known for his wickedness. And after he died, even to this day, we read about him. He was known for his idolatry and his wickedness. And there's many other kings like that. That would be in 1 Kings 15 and verse 34 with Jeroboam. Judas Iscariot. What do we think of when we hear that name? We don't think of it with delight. We don't think of it with delight, but disdain. We think about how wicked he was, sold out the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And so we all leave a legacy. Notice as we come here to Psalms 112. And by the way, write down Joshua chapter 24 and verse 29. Joshua left a wonderful legacy. And yeah, most of us remember the verse, as far as me and my house, in verse 15, we will serve the Lord. Notice they were going to serve the Lord whether anybody else did or not. But in verse 29 of Joshua, we find that even after Joshua died, after that he died, we find that the children of Israel served the Lord partially because of him. He left a legacy. His name was blessed. Listen to this. Let me see. Yes, verse 29 is where he died at 110 years of age. Verse 31, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. So when they thought of Joshua, they thought of good things and they thought of blessings and so forth. Notice now as we come to Psalms 112, verse 1. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Come down with me to verse 5 and 6. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. Turn with me to the New Testament. Notice in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Just read one verse here. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to come to verse 4. Now, there's many other passages that we find in Scripture. Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death better than that of one's birth. How can that be so? Well, if they've lived a good life. You know, we could rejoice over a birth of a child, and that child could turn out to be a wicked individual and die a horrible death, die lost and end up in hell. But so we can rejoice in someone's death in the sense that they walked and served the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, speaking of pastors, they must have a good report of them that are without. That doesn't mean everybody's going to agree with them, with their doctrine and so forth, but a pastor is supposed to have a good report of the people around him. In other words, he's lived a life, a testimony, he's been faithful and so forth, and he's treated people right. So, and then in 2 Corinthians 8:21 said, providing honest things, not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of men. 2 John 12, Demetrius hath a good report, John says. He has a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she was a child, she said in Luke chapter 1 and verse 48, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. All generations have remembered Mary, the mother of Jesus. Matter of fact, that's one of the most popular names in the world, is Mary. And so we remember. Now notice in Hebrews chapter 11, and this chapter is dealing with faith, the great cloud of witnesses. And again, you can read through this chapter and be encouraged in the faith. He said in verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, notice, yet speaketh. What has it been? How long has it been since Abel died? Been a long time, hasn't it? And he's still speaking. In other words, or he is still spoken of in a positive and blessed way. Turn with me to Acts, the book of Acts in chapter 9. Let me give you three other examples and we'll close. Notice with me in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Covered some of these in character studies. But notice in Acts 9, I want to begin reading in verse 36. Tabitha or Dorcas. Notice what we find here about her. It said in verse 36, chapter 9, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter rose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. Turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, rise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand, lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Now here's a woman that's died. Now we know she was raised from the dead. God allowed her to be raised from the dead. But I want you to notice they missed her when she died. They missed her. And notice as you come back to verse 39, the latter part of that verse, it says, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. The room was full of widows when Peter arrived. And they were saying, look at what she has done for us. They remembered her. Her name was blessed. They remembered her. They thought of her in delight as she laid there in that upper chamber. And of course, the Lord chose to raise her up, you know, at this time. Look at another example, chapter 10, while we're here close, Cornelius. Notice as we read from verses 1 through verse 6 of chapter 10. We find here in this passage, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man. Now notice the synonyms that are used for him, even before he got saved. said he's a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him, saying unto him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. In other words, as we read in chapter 11, well, as we read in chapter 10, 43, and chapter 11, verse 14 and 18, when it says here, tell us thou what thou oughtest to do, it's going to tell him how to be saved, and he becomes a Christian. Now, the reason I turned here, Cornelius has not died, and the next one that we're going to look at is Mary of Bethany for a moment. She's not died at that time either. But we find here that Cornelius, his prayers and his alms were a memorial. And we've got a whole sermon on Cornelius, then we've got one on a memorial from this text, just a year, probably a year or two ago. But when I look at this and think about this, we find here that Cornelius was a sinner seeking God with all of his heart, and he found God. And we find here that God hears every prayer and sees every deed. If an individual has a heart for God and wants to be saved, God will come to them, or he'll send somebody to them, or both. Cornelius got a vision, and he and Peter got a vision. But notice what is said about him as we come down to about verse 19. Peter has got his vision. And notice it says in verse 19, and I want to emphasize this word memorial in verse 4. A memorial. And again in verse 31, it says, Thy prayer is heard and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. A memorial is a remembrance. And so I'm just using him. Cornelius is still talked about to this day. And I'll guarantee you when Cornelius died that people were encouraged to just have known him and been around him. Because the men that went to Peter, the three men that went to Peter from Cornelius, here's what they said. Let's just come down to verse 22 for time's sake. In verse 22, and they said, now they're saying this to Peter, and they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of a good report among the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send thee into his house and to hear the words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged there. And on the morning, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And as you come down to about verse, let's come to verse 34 and 35. We know that Cornelius gathered his people together, family, relatives, whatever. But verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And then in verse 43 through 48, Cornelius and those with him were converted. The reason I'm using him, again, he's not died at this time, but Cornelius, his prayers and alms came up as a memorial to the Lord. And I'm going to show you one other person. Again, when we think of Cornelius, turn with me to Matthew 26. When we think of Cornelius, what do we think of? We think about a sinner seeking God with all of his heart. He was concerned about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Lord revealed himself to him in a vision, then sent the preacher to him, give the preacher a vision as well. And this is how he came to know the Lord. Well, notice in Matthew chapter 26, this will be our last text. Matthew chapter 26, we're going to be reading from verse 6 down to about verse 19. point this evening is that we will leave a legacy. It will be looked upon as blessed or as rotten. And again, we all could sit here tonight and think of different ones on both sides of this aisle. We can think of some, and it would be a great encouragement to us, to make us want to keep serving God until the day that we either die or the Lord comes. We could think of others, and it would not be encouraging at all. And so here's another tremendous testimony in Scripture. I think we have two sermons on this, one titled The Alabaster Box, the other titled Mary of Bethany. I'm reading from verse 6, and I believe that she is the only person that the Lord memorialized, you know, and a tremendous testimony that she had. What we're going to be reading is about 6 days before the crucifixion, and it's mentioned in Mark 14, beginning in verse 3. 3 through 9, to be exact, and also in John 12, verses 1 through 8. Now, some would probably differ on that, but I do believe this is Mary of Bethany. He says here, beginning in verse 6, he said, "Now, when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble you this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." Before I read any farther, I want you to think about that. It appears to me, when I read this, notice she did this for my burial. It appears that she knew something about the coming crucifixion, the death, that even the apostles did not know. In other words, it appears that she knew something that they did not know about the coming death and burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is only about 6 days before the crucifixion. But notice in verse 13, it says, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her." So she became a memorial after that, even after she died, 2,000 years later, in all four corners of the earth, she is still being talked about. Now notice in verse 9, I'm going to read verse 9, come back and read verse 13 and close. But notice in verse 9, you see the memory of her devotion. Doesn't that warm your hearts? I love this story. Because when we think of her, the memory of her devotion would stir us up to be more dedicated and devoted to the Lord. And you notice that as we come to verse 9, I don't want to overlook this, but it said, "For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." Here in verse 9, we have the expression "sold for much." In John 12, 5, 300 pence. In Mark chapter 14, 3, very precious. Don't overlook that. This ointment or perfume that costs the equivalent to a common worker's annual wages. I think a pence would have been a day's wages at this time. We're talking about what this woman gave would be, and most commentators and those who study this would agree with this, that this was equivalent to a year's wages. So do you see what the Lord was doing here? Her heart was in the right place. Her finances and her possessions were in the right place. Coming back to verse 13, let's read this again. You see, in Matthew 5:16, we are to our good works are to be seen before men, that not that they would glorify us, but they would glorify God. They would praise God. So the question, will our name be a blessing or a curse while we're living and then after we're dead, when somebody thinks of our name, thinks of us, will they be encouraged in the faith or would they be discouraged in the faith? When they remember us, will they think of Christ? Will they think of the work that God has done in our hearts and our lives? And that's the key here. Well, notice verse 13 again as we stand. This is a wonderful passage. I'm sure this woman would have never thought that her name would have been mentioned thousands upon thousands, if not millions of times throughout church history. But the Lord Jesus said this again, and she had some insight. She understood something about the Lord's burial and His death. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. She become a part of gospel history in the entire world, to every corner of the earth, all four corners, as said in the Scripture, of the earth. So we will leave that legacy. Father, we thank Thee this evening for the wonderful privilege You've given us to come together again. We ask Your blessings upon the remaining of the service, the singing, Lord, the prayer time around the altar here, the prayer requests that will be lifted up this evening. And we ask all of these things in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.